I don't know what you want to do, but I do know what I want to do. I don't want to do anything. It doesn't represent the reasonable unanimity of this country. We ought to have these things settled with the water's edge, and then when we go the other way, we ought to be one nation united. And I'm willing to let you write the ticket if you write it. I thought you wrote it with the CETO treaty. I thought you wrote it when you approved the policies done, the appropriations, the action. But if you've got another policy and you want to tuck tail and run, I'll submit it to you. And then you can do it. Or if you prefer, you can just pass a joint resolution. I don't even sign it, just send it down. That's what we provided for. So you could always have a power of expression. But until you conclude that, I would hope that you can go here. So that jarred him. But it hasn't jarred him enough on our side to keep him from whining. He ran to Aiken first to have breakfast. And Aiken comes out and gets in the debate as soon as they open up and says that Johnson's going to put us on the spot and get off the hook himself. Did you read that?
Yeah, I was sure I did.
of course, I would like to do that, but I don't think I'm doing that in submitting it. I think I'm just making more trouble for myself. But I don't want to let them know it, and I think that, do you notice how quick Russell got away from
us? Yeah,
so I think that's what we got to do, and I think Taylor's got to say now he has the power to do this and the authority to do that, and I see a lot of suggestions here. And here's the resolution. It says to deter aggression. Now, if there's anyone that believe we ought to be doing, in order to do that, I've got to have these men. Now, if there's anyone that thinks we oughtn't to, he ought to introduce a resolution. Repeal it, and won't have authority. I think it'd be disastrous to the country, and I'd object to it as a citizen. But Congress is a policy-making branch of the government, and they got a right to pass on it. If you want to, just get you introduce a resolution and pass it, and you get a majority. That's not what they want. Now tell me in a brief summary, before I take too much of your time, the position, as nearly as you can, that our friend took on what happened at Paul's. Did we do it wrong, and did we do it the right day, and didn't that last?
No, he didn't. He didn't rake that over.
Would you say appreciation of the fact that we had heeded the suggestion and tried it?
That's right. I think that he would say that was wise to have done it. Didn't work, but it was wise to have done it. But now the line is that we haven't explained where we're going, looks slow, we have an unlimited liability here that we're accepting, advancing toward world war. We haven't told people why. They don't understand what we're doing. Nobody knows what's going on. Sleight of hand. Constantly and so on, that line. So I said to him, well, do you think we ought to go to Congress with a resolution? Would that lead to divisive debate? Yeah, I said, probably would. I think we ought to do that. I said, what do you think ought to do that? Well, the president ought to go on TV and explain what it is, how far are we going to go?
I can't do that, can I?
No, you can't.
Do you know how far we're going to go? Or do the Joint Chiefs know? And what human being knows? I would imagine if they wiped out 1,000 boys tomorrow, we might go a hell of a lot further than we do if they just wiped out 4.
No, I agree. You can't. It's going to be uncertainty here. It is risky. That's the nature of the problem. I do think there can be more said about how many troops we have or how many we've decided to have and what their role will be. This, I think, could be explained, Mr. President, much the way you're talking about. Mac explained tomorrow that there's been this continued Vietcong buildup, and we have to respond to it. We're planning to do so.
Well, I wouldn't say that we have to respond. I'd say there's been this constant buildup, and we must protect ourselves as best we can. And we think that this is essential protection. Now, this is not a warlord here. This is Mr. Johnson and Mr. Taylor and the ambassador people and General Westmoreland, who's been out there a good long time and hasn't tried to invade the North. And they think that in the light of the developments, this is essential to protect our people. Now, we don't say that putting these people in is going to win, but we say if you don't put them in, you're going to lose substantially what you have.
Yeah.
Now, we don't want to promise you to, but this is more of a holding action in the hope that through the monsoon they'll change their mind and time will play instead of being rash. We're trying to be prudent. Isn't that really what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
No, not a damn human thinks that 50,000 or 100,000 or 150,000 are going to end that war. And we're not getting out, but we're trying to hold what we got. And we're doing a bad, we're losing at the rate we're going. And we're getting raised hell, but if he had a few facts on how much he's lost, it would be good. Could say now we have tried to be as peaceful as we can, and we've had our bombings limited, and we think they have done this amount of good and helped us with our government and our morale. But the cold hard facts are that we do not have the pacification program, and but one of the 42 or whatever it is, and that it's in danger all over the place, and we're not they're taking extra territory. They killed 600 last week compared to a normal 100 they kill. And now, if we can't endure that without help, and we want to come in there and do all everything we can that the Vietnamese doing, so they'll have enough people to resist it. And when they can't resist it and they overrun, well, we've got to carry them in to help them.
Well, I'll talk to Max Pine about it.
Okay, see you in one minute.